Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So Prime Minister Johnson is on the last leg of his tour of the awesome foursome today. He's gone to Northern Ireland to meet the leaders of the major parties there. James, how do you think that visit will go down?
This visit is very important because if you look at how Boris Johnson attacks the backstop, he attacks it for being undemocratic, a democratic abomination, he called it, on the steps of Downing Street. The obvious response to that is that the backstop should be kind of run in Northern Ireland. It should be Northern Ireland that chooses whether to align with Great Britain or with the EU on various issues. The problem is that the obvious body to make that decision on behalf of the people of Northern Ireland, the body created by the Good Friday Agreement, the Northern Ireland Assembly and the Northern Ireland Executive, they're not functioning.
And haven't been for
2 years. So essentially, if the UK could get those bodies up and running, suddenly it would be in a much stronger position to turn around and say, look, you talk about the UK's backstop is necessary to respect the Good Friday Agreement. Well, why don't we have these institutions created by the Good Friday Agreement run the thing? But when that is in abeyance, it's a much harder argument to make. And so I mean, that is the kind of challenge here. And there's also another element to all this, obviously, which is that this relationship with the Democratic Unionist Party, which Leo Varadkar was criticising a few days ago, is very important because that is what provides the Conservatives with their majority in the House of Commons, you know, and it's, even with the DUP, it is now in single figures and heading kind of expected to head lower after the Bracknell and Radnorshire by-election tomorrow. So that, I think, is why this visit to Northern Ireland today is so important.
Katie, it's early days yet, but how is the Johnson administration dealing better with the DUP, or are they?
Well, I think he starts in a better place than Theresa May, at least when she entered her premiership, because Boris Johnson is opposed to the backstop and the DUP are very opposed to the backstop. So he talks about being undemocratic. There was a real concern amongst the DUP that A, Theresa May was pursuing with a withdrawal agreement, which would, in their view, have seen Northern Ireland treated differently to the rest of the United Kingdom, and that this was a Prime Minister who might allow that to happen, so allow an arrangement which would see Northern Ireland treated differently. Boris Johnson is talking tough on this, and he is talking about the prospect of a no-deal Brexit. Now, the DUP, if you speak to DUP MPs, do believe that the only way you're going to get a better deal, and they would much rather leave a deal, I think it's worth pointing out, than without one, is to get no deal back on the table. So I think they more naturally see the route that Boris Johnson is mapping out and think that is a better way of trying to get to where you want to. Now, I think that if the Boris Johnson strategy fails and you end up with a no deal Brexit, that is actually quite tricky for the DUP, because there are some DUP MPs, if you look at their constituencies, who think that it would be okay. It would be something that voters could deal with and they could bear it out. But there are others, if you look at certain areas, where they think a no-deal Brexit would not be good electorally in that area. And therefore, I think that while everyone is behind Boris Johnson right now, it could change perhaps when you get nearer to that October deadline.
So
when
even the DUP could get cold feet on no-deal?
Not all of them, but I do think I think that everyone wants a better deal than the one that was on the table in terms of the DUP party. They think that in order to get that, you have to get no deal back on the table to show that you're not going to accept this unsatisfactory arrangement. But I also think there are some DUP MPs who do not want to go for a no deal Brexit when push comes to shove.
Katie's answer is absolutely spot on. What the DUP think, essentially, is that Boris Johnson is negotiating how they would negotiate, right? Which is, you've got to basically say, if you guys won't back down, then it'll be no deal and we're getting ready for it and we're prepared to walk away from the table. That was one of the things that had the DUP pulling their hair out about the way Theresa May did this. They also think Theresa May didn't understand how to make time pressure work in her favour. So again, they would applaud the Boris Johnson emphasis on the 31st of October. But as Katie said, you know, look, it's often can be misleading at Westminster because Sammy Wilson is the most vocal of the DUP MPs. He also is the MP who was probably most relaxed about no deal on the DUP. Lots of people in the DUP are genuinely concerned about that. You know, Geoffrey Donaldson, for example, the DUP's chief whip, worries that no deal could threaten kind of Catholic middle class consent for the union. Arlene Foster represents a part of Northern Ireland, actually doesn't say it at Westminster, but obviously the leader of a DUP, the overall leader of a DUP and the leader of a DUP in Northern Ireland, represents a part of Northern Ireland that would be very economically affected by no deal. So, I mean, and this is one of the frustrations of those in May's team, with her, or in May's cabinet with her, was that, you know, the DUP would certainly be interested in a deal if there were substantive changes to the backstop coming down the line. And I think, so I think that one of the things that will happen is if you did get some, you know, for example, if Stormont was to be running the backstop, then you might find that the DUP would be prepared to accept it. So I think you will find, I think if Boris Johnson could get some change to the backstop, then I think he would have a chance of getting the DUP on board for a deal, because I think they actively want a deal. I think what is difficult right now is that the Irish government are saying no chance of any change at all to the backstop, and Boris Johnson is saying abolish the backstop. So it is very hard to see at the moment where the meeting of minds is on this question. And I think, not sound like a broken record on this point, I don't think until Boris Johnson gets through that mini session of Parliament in September, we're going to find out what happens. Because at the moment, the view of lots of EU capitals is that ultimately, either the UK will accept that it can't get ready for no deal by October 31st and decide to extend again, or if Boris Johnson doesn't get cold feet, they think that Parliament will step in. They think in the same way as happened before March 29th, when the anti-no deal majority in the Commons mobilised, it will happen again. I think it's only if Boris Johnson can get through that session at the beginning of September and say, look, I'm through this. They haven't taken action to stop no deal now in Parliament, to block it. You've got to take this threat seriously. That's the moment at which we will find out if the EU are prepared to compromise or not.
And Katie, this meeting of British and Irish minds happened yesterday, at least over the phone. Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar had their first phone call since Boris Johnson became Prime Minister. How did that phone call go?
So there was some criticism that this took a week to happen in the first place. If you look at what needs to happen with the Brexit negotiations to leave with a deal, I think it's worth pointing out that figures on both sides said the exchange was warm, but ultimately the fundamentals didn't change. So while they might have managed to be pleasant to one another, Boris Johnson reiterated the fact that he would like to renegotiate, he would like to put lots of energy into getting a new Brexit deal, but he will only do that if there is an agreement to scrap the undemocratic backstop, in his words. In return, Leo Varadkar said that they do not want to do anything in terms of getting rid of the backstop. They don't want to even reopen the withdrawal agreement. And Leo Varadkar did then invite Boris Johnson to visit him in Dublin. However, it's quite clear that that's unlikely to happen for some time, because Varadkar is ultimately saying he isn't willing to look at ditching the backstop, reopening the withdrawal agreement, and Boris Johnson is saying he's not going to meet any EU leaders until they're willing to do that. So we're just in this standoff at the moment, where it's just going to be a case of who blinks first. And as James says, if as the clock ticks and it looks like the UK might actually be able to leave without a deal, will that change the mood music in Brussels? I think that's the big question here, because otherwise I think we're just going to have a lot of phone calls rather than physical visits, with people just saying things that don't match at all.
James, back home, is Boris Johnson already doing better on his domestic agenda and pushing through other things other than Brexit? I mean, there's this talk of boosterism, that he's going to be putting more public funding into the NHS and social care almost immediately. Is that going to happen?
First of all, they're two separate things. One is he is trying to address the Tories' electoral vulnerabilities. So what was the principal reason the 2017 election campaign went so disastrously wrong was the so-called dementia tax. And so Boris Johnson is trying to come up with a plan for social care that basically would take homes out of the means test. He also wants to show that he's honouring that £350 million pledge on the famous pledge on the side of the Vote Leave bus. So I think you're going to see more money for the NHS. And I think there's also a view down through, which isn't wrong, which is this government has got, the Tories have got remarkably little credit for this huge cash injection into the NHS that they're planning. So I think there's an attempt to add some more money in to try and kind of get more bang for the old buck. I think there's certainly an ability to push more domestic stuff through. I think on the economy, I think the crucial point about Boris Johnson is he hasn't yet met an infrastructure project he doesn't like. He essentially thinks that infrastructure is what is one of the big things that makes London so productive and so prosperous. And basically, if he can find other bits of the country and give them infrastructure projects of the same quality and scale, and that will bring in investment, create a sense of confidence. This is this boosterism idea, and that will get the economy going in all these places. I think he also thinks that these big infrastructure projects are statements of confidence that are self-reinforcing. So you announce that, you know, that Crossrail and things like that are saying, in London, we're saying this city is going to carry on growing, carry on its role as the world's financial capital. And so doing that in other bits of the country, of, you know, so you've already had this Manchester to Leeds railway line announced, will have a kind of similar effect, that they will create, you know, they will unleash the animal spirits of the economy. They will create confidence.
James and Katie, thanks very much. And you can subscribe, rate and review through all the usual routes. You know what to do. And if you'd like to hear more from the Spectator team, do join Douglas Murray in conversation with Lionel Shriver on October 28th in Westminster. They'll be talking about identity politics, and you can get tickets online at spectator.co.uk/Lionel. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.